Good evening. Can I welcome you here this evening? It's good to be here to meet together, meet the Lord, and meet each other. And we come and we welcome you online too, who are listening in, and trust that together we might be praising God and encouraging one another. I'm going to start with the notices. Let's make it a bit different, shall we? Notices, what do I need to mention? You always need reminders, don't you? Yeah, you always need reminders. It's March this week. So, Pilgrim Bible Notes, do help yourselves there. They're available for you to take away and to use. Also, there's a couple of our daily bread notes there. Again, very useful, very encouraging, very helpful. There's a new card with student trips here to Little Hill. That's international student trips here. When they come to Little Hill, meet the church and meet the people there. Very colourful, I might add. Very colourful that meets the eye there. Tomorrow, we have Famous or Forgotten. Again, I do like this, the way it's been presented. Someone's been very clever with the forgotten bit being blurred away there, nearly away. So we'll find out when you come and listen to Dr. Leslie Rowe talk tomorrow evening, 7:30. Yeah, do come and find out more about it there. The activities this week are getting back to the usual things. All I need to ask is, after the service, about 10 minutes after the service, we need to set up for little ones tonight. So if you're able and you're fit, do feel free to have a go and put things out. There are little things as well as big things, and you can get distracted as well as adults with things like that there. So, those are they. Let me read you a few verses from Exodus 15. Exodus 15, it's the Song of Moses, and it's verses 11 to 13. 11 to 13. And they're good words, words which obviously Moses and the people of Israel sang to the Lord after they crossed the Red Sea, and the Lord delivered them there. And it says this, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretch out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You have led them in your steadfast love, the people you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode." That's part of those words of the song of Moses. Well, we're going to have our own song now. Number 24 from the supplement, if you're using the book, it'll be on the screen there. God, we praise you. God, we bless you. God, we name you Sovereign Lord. And it's by Christopher Idle, a well-known Anglican writer and vicar.
Thank you.
And let's praise God, shall we, now, and come to him in prayer. We do indeed thank and praise you, Heavenly Father, that we can sing words like that, that we can extol the glory of God, the goodness of God, the greatness of God, in a way, in a manner which gives you that honour and that glory. We thank you, Father, for what you do, what you've done, what you are doing. Lord, we realise your work is ongoing, both in this church and in many of the churches locally. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that there are many churches locally that rest upon your word, rest upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation in him alone. And we praise you, Lord, for the way in which there are church plants going on in different places, some small, some bigger, some in buildings, some simply in homes. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the work that goes on where your people are seeking to reach out and proclaim Christ Jesus in so many different places. We praise you, Heavenly Father, that we have a message of hope, a message of encouragement, a message, Lord, that can transform people's lives. And it's not ours, it's yours, and it's yours by your Spirit and by your power to apply to the lives of men and women in and around whom we meet. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for those folk whom we do meet. And we ask, Lord, that as we chat with them, as we meet with them, that we might indeed cause them to think and ponder and dwell upon some of the things that you have done for them, in enabling them to come to a holy God like you and to enjoy a loving, living relationship. Lord, we praise and we thank you and bless you for all the things that you continue to pour out upon us. And Lord, help us to bless your name, not just here in this building, but also at home and in the street. And as we meet people, when we're out shopping, whatever, Lord, help us, Heavenly Father, to spread the word and the love of the Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Now, let me talk to you about freebies. Yes. On the table at the back there, on the right as you go out, there are lots of different books there for you to take away. They're free. You don't have to pay for them. You don't have to put any money in the offering box for them or anything like that. They're available for you there. What can I see? Well, I can see Doc Carswell's books there to give away. By all means, read them and learn what God has done in the lives of people, different people now from different circumstances, but they're to give away so that people might learn how they might find Christ there. There are little booklets, salvation booklets there. There are booklets, A Student's Guide to Navigating Culture. Another one there, produced recently from 10 of those. Most of these come from 10 of those and that area there. Then there's a few oddments of books in a column. Then there are some booklets there from CAP, Christians Against Poverty. There to help you see something of the goodness of God in that work there. And those Amazing Love is things like that there. You'll find books by Sinclair Ferguson. To Seek and to Save is one there, which I came across recently in a charity bookshop in Sheringham. It's what you get up to in your holidays, isn't it? there. So, there are those in that particular way there. What else have we got there? Oh, we've got mini-zines. Mini-zines. Well, you've heard of magazines, haven't you? Well, mini-zines are mini-magazines, okay? So they're a short introduction to different topics, loving your church, a whole lot of different things there in that particular area there. As well as that, there are booklets there for teenagers. Now, or children. Now, I know just by observation that you're not that, but then you might know them. You might have them in your family. There might be one next living next door to you there, whatever. And there's a survival guide for girls. There's bite-sized Bible studies for boys and things like that there. They're all there for you to have, give away, so that people might enjoy the benefit of that there. From Nine Marks, that's a group from America. Yeah, there are some good groups in America that bring stuff across here. And one of them is this: how can I serve my church? There are about three other booklets too as well. How can I take the Lord's Supper? What should I be giving to my church? And things like that there. So they're all available for you to take away freely. And yeah, read for yourself, by all means, some of them are, but also feel free to give them away as well. Right, next thing. Yeah, slides from Ukraine. Let's see what we can cover. What I've done is I've put together a few slides from EMF. EMF is European Missionary Fellowship. Their headquarters is locally here in Glenfield, and they've put these available on the internet, so the pictures are available there, and they are different things about Ukraine. We hear a lot in our news about different things in Ukraine, mainly about the war, how it's going or not going, as the case might be, but I want to focus on different things there. Not the battles, but more the plight of the people. So, how does stuff get to them? Whatever that stuff might be. And that stuff, you know, might be a whole variety of things, from blankets, Bibles, food, hygiene products and things like that. They go by the truckload from Holland. Yeah? That's where most of the stuff EMF do anyway, or the organisation. But it goes from Holland into Ukraine, into a warehouse, into Ukraine there. And that's what you get out there. In Ukraine, it ends up in the back of a small van. And in this particular case, they have Bibles or Bible books there. It's one illustration that you have. What else have you got? Oh, yeah, box of food and hygiene products together with literature being given out from the back of a van. Now, more often than not, these vans have gone into areas where you and I would never dream of going. In other words, close to a front line. There are evangelical Christians, some pastors mainly, but others just ordinary workers in a church, taking stuff in to people close to the front line there. And it's there for all people, mainly older couples who seem to be left there. They're given out by these people. What have we got there? These are some of the people who've been helped. Titania from Kherson, another couple from Kharkov, again, Marina and the family being helped, and Yulia also from Kharkov there. So those are some illustrations of people who've been helped with food or Bibles or both. This couple used to live in Kherson. They've had to go, now going to live with their granddaughter. So this is granddaughter looking after gran and granddad there. And they live in a different place now. But as you can see, there's a lot of upheaval, a lot of movement, and there. What else have we got? Yeah, they give out Bibles, things like that there. The lady in the picture is the wife of a military chaplain. And that's their church there in Kyiv, and they're giving out literature to people there in that way. And that's people in the church getting a blanket by the look of it, and some Bible there. That's what we have. Now then, this guy. This is a fella called Pastor Grenady, and he goes out in a van right into the frontline area, and he takes stuff to people, and you know, it's great to see it happening. Let me just see if we can get a bit of sound to this.
Thank you, dear friends. for your prayer. Now we are in the on the front line, and maybe you can hear shelling and bombing around us. These people want to say you thank you for the support which you send them. They say nobody comes here, but they prayed, and now we are an answer for their prayer. We brought them good packages of food, and we prayed for them. We reminded them that God loves them and never forsakes them. Thank you for your prayers.
Thank you.
And God bless you. Thank you.
And there we are. There. So that's what we have in that particular report there. Now, I don't know whether you watch BBC News. We tend to watch it. But then two or three nights ago, they reported an evangelical pastor who was actually doing exactly that near the front line. That's what they called him there, an evangelical pastor. And he was out there. And the thing he seemed to be dishing out was hugs more than anything. But great, as far as that's concerned, showing that people care in that situation. Right, let's go on. Now, this man, yeah. This slide shows a man called Vitaly. He's a military pastor who takes funerals and ministers to soldiers near the front line. Constantly being with people and helping is draining physically. You don't have an awful lot of privacy when you're near the front line, and he is with the soldiers there. All right, he gets leave from time to time to come back to Kiev to his wife and church there, and that's what he is doing. So it is draining physically, not just on him, but also many of these other workers who are seeing 20, 200 people a day as they seek to minister to them and help them in one way or another there. What was he doing this time last year? Well, he's like a lot of Ukrainians. He was in a totally different job there. What was he doing? Well, he was the academic dean of the Baptist Seminary in Kiev. So that's what he was doing. That's what he is doing now. And it's demanding. And his wife, Luda, she's brilliant. She has a ministry in Kiev, in his particular case there, to military wives and widows. Yeah, they have that in that particular case. And that's what they asked us to pray for, that they might have be able to minister the gospel and that people would be helped in that place there. Right. That's what they put together sometimes, Bibles and blankets, and that's what they talk about and giving them there. And there you've got a whole load of blankets together with a few Bibles and Bible booklets there. I've never seen such colourful blankets myself. I don't know about you, but what you've got at home, whatever. But I've never seen such colourful blankets there. Now, as these were giving out by Pastor Granady, one lady commented she was praying for a warm blanket, but she didn't believe she would get such a beautiful one. Yeah, so little things in the midst of those particular areas there. And what does a church look like? Well, that's the inside of his church. His church is in Irpin, which is a city a bit further away from the front line, but near to Kiev there. And that's a group of people, obviously, that have just been helped. What does a church look like in Ukraine? Well, it looks like that. That's one of the pictures they've got up there. There's several, but that's one of the pictures there. And, you know, typical service, typical church service, chairs. Looks like guitars on the wall. It's all different, isn't it, when it comes to it there, but not to worry. And what does it look like in the background? Somewhere in one of the back rooms? Something like that, where they're, you know, dishing out people, dishing out things to people so that they can get things from the church in that place there. So that's what we have. Now, the one I've taken is the slide of Focus on Irpin, which again is from another pastor there. And the headings are, please pray that people will accept the gospel in their hearts. There are many, many people who in many ways will talk about things, but it's not personal. It's not them there when it comes to it there. They talk about the problems economically, emotionally, constant threats of missile attacks. Yeah. They pray for new ministers, for teams. They want really help. They talk about gain, how so exhausting it is, because you can deal from 40 to 500 people a day, and that's for 6 days a week. Now, I think I'd find that demanding, anywhere like that when it comes to it. So pray that they might have the strength from God, but also strength from encouragement for one another. And they talk about Ukraine's victory as well, because that's what they're interested in, an end to all the suffering and the damage that toll has been taken there. So that's a few points about Ukraine. What I'm doing now is inviting you to pray. Pray out loud, that is. By all means, pray in your heart. But pray out loud so that we might bring some of these things and anything else that you know of to the Lord in prayer. And right. And then I'll close the session of prayer myself. Thank you. And we do pray, continue to pray, Heavenly Father, for your people there who are simply living for Christ. Pray, Heavenly Father, that their lives might be a testimony to your greatness and goodness. But also, Lord, we pray for the life of Vitaly, that as he ministers to the soldiers there on the front line, that he will know many harrowing moments. But, Lord, how we pray that he might know some many hallowed moments as well. That there might be that encouragement of seeing men who, though they may be close to eternity, may find themselves ready for eternity, we pray. We think of his wife, Luda, as well, as she has this ministry to military wives and widows, and there are many of them, Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that that work will continue and abound, and that they will support and encourage one another, both in their times when they rejoice, but also in the times of sadness and bereavement. Lord, we pray that you might continue to build your church. We thank you too, Heavenly Father, for Bethany, who's out somewhere in the Gulf on the Logos boat. Pray that there might be encouragement, and we ask, Heavenly Father, that as Josh too is on sabbatical, that it might be a time when he's refreshed and replenished and encouraged and built up again. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of hymns. The first one will be from Christian Hymns. It's Let Us With a Gladsome Mind Praise the Lord, for He is Kind. And then we're going to follow that with number 65 from the supplement, Oh, the Mercy of God, the Glory of Grace. And then we're going to have tonight's Bible reading. And Richard and Janet are going to share the Bible reading, and you'll understand why when they do it.
Thank you.
same as to forgive and restore.
Reading tonight from Psalm 68. We shall be reading the whole psalm. Psalm 68. God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. Wax melts before fire, so the wicked shall perish before God. But the righteous shall be glad, they shall exult before God, they shall be jubilant with joy. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord, exult before him. Father of the fatherless, protector of widows, is God in his holy habitation. God settles the solitary in his home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down rain before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, you shed abroad. You restored your inheritance as it languished, your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. The Lord gives the word, the woman who announced the news are a great host. The kings of the armies, they flee, they flee. The woman at home divide the spoil, though you men lie amongst the sheepfolds. The wings of a dove, covered with silver, his pinions with glimmering gold. When the Almighty scatters kings there, let her snow fall on Zalmon. O mountain of God, mountain of Bashan, O many-peaked mountain, mountain of Bashan, why do you look with hatred, O many-peaked mountain, at the mount that God desired for his abode, yes, where the Lord will dwell forever? The chariots of God are twice 10,000, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is amongst them. Sinai is now in the sanctuary. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train, and receiving gifts amongst men, even amongst the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there.
Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation. And to God, the Lord, belongs deliverances from death. But God will strike the heads of his enemies, the hairy crown of him who walks in his guilty ways. The Lord said, I will bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that you may strike your feet in their blood, that the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from the foe. Your procession is seen, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers in front, the musicians last, between them virgins playing tambourines. Bless God in the great congregation. The Lord, O you who are of Israel's fountain. There is Benjamin, the least of them in the lead, the princes of Judah in their throng, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. Summon your power, O God, the power, O God, by which you have worked for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings shall here bear gifts to you. Rebuke the beasts that dwell among the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples. Trample underfoot those who lust after tribute. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Nobles shall come from Egypt. Cush shall hasten to stretch out her hands to God. O kingdoms of the earth, sing to God, sing praises to the Lord. To him who rides in the heavens, the ancient heavens, behold, he sends out his voice and his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God from his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. Thank you.
Thank you very much for reading that. Well, you can see that we're going on with our series in the Psalms, and it's not a short one. Have you ever found things difficult to do or difficult to understand? you might say. Always, Barry, always. Right, let me give you one or two things that have happened to me. When my grandson says to me, run, the reply is, Granddad can't run. Right? Have you tried touching your toes recently with straight legs? No, I can't do it now. I could do it at one time, but I was a lot younger then when it came to it there. Well, we are not alone, as Spurgeon described this psalm as surprisingly excellent, true, and difficult. Its darkness in some stanzas is utterly impregnable. In other words, beyond his understanding. It's actually the last of four psalms that are entitled a song. It's a magnificent hymn about the Ark of the Covenant. Its journey from Sinai to Zion is verses 1 to 18, where it covers in some detail. Whereas the second part is about its installation in Jerusalem, verses 19 to 35, celebrating God's triumph. The Bible passage is in eight stanzas. So, do you think we have the same number of points? Wait and see. We could consider the words are in the light of the journey of the ark. But for me, there's an even greater thread running through this psalm. And it is God working in each phase of Israel's life to bring about his purpose and his priority there. So the theme for tonight is God is at work. God is at work. And we do have points. Firstly, God's presence, verses 1 to 3. For God to arise and scatter his enemies, that was the cry. He is with his people, and he causes the enemies to be scattered and to flee away. And the result is the righteous are glad and jubilant with joy. Time and again, in the history of Israel and in the growth of the church, we read about God reassuring his people of his presence. In Joshua, we read, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. But there were conditions of obedience to God to be met. But in the following chapters, it is evident that the Lord was with them as they conquered the land in that time. In the New Testament, God's with his people. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, you have the Gospel Commission there. And it concludes with these words, behold, I am with you even always to the end of the age. Words spoken to the disciples 2,000 years ago, but the presence of God as Jesus was evident in the church as it grew in leaps and bounds. And the promise made 2,000 years ago is just as valid today to you and me as disciples of the Lord. Second point, God's praise, verses 4 to 6. Verse 4 starts with, sing to God, sing praises to his name, lift up a song to him. So they sang to God then. What do I have in mind? Well, after they crossed the Red Sea safely, Exodus 15 declares that Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, which part of which we read earlier on. So as part of their thanksgiving and praise, they use the words there. Why did they praise God? Why do you and I praise God? Well, in this particular case here, it's because of what he had done. And the New Testament also abounds in praise and thanksgiving. Just one example is 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. Give thanks to my God always for you. It's Paul speaking, and he says this, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus. Why did Paul respond in that way? Well, verse 15 reveals. He explains in the following words, because they were affected, changed, and reflected the way of grace and of God, how he had changed their lives, their attitudes, and their speech. Third point, God's provision, verses 4 to 17. We're told here in this particular psalm, in these verses here, that the heavens poured down rain and rain in abundance. Now, we're told there are two places where God provided water. Now, in a desert, that is a valuable commodity. It's a valuable commodity anyway, but in a desert, even more so. It's essential to that place there. And the source of water, on some occasions, was a rock. And we're told in the New Testament that this rock was Christ. Now, if rain in abundance is figurative, and it could be, then it could refer to manna and quails that they received from God when he provided for them in the wilderness there. When we think about water in the New Testament, then the conversation that Jesus had with the woman at the well in Samaria relates words like this. The water that I give will never be thirsty again. And that's the result of Jesus speaking to that woman. And the water he's speaking about there is eternal life. But then somebody from an unknown source said this about water. The body needs about 3 quarts of water a day to operate efficiently. I think that's about 6 litres, isn't it? 3 quarts? No, I might have it wrong. It helps break up and soften food. The blood, which is 90% H2O, carries nutrients to the cells as a cooling agent. Water regulates our temperature through perspiration. And without its lubricating properties, our joints and muscles would grind and creak like unused parts of some old rusty machinery. So water is vital to you and to me, whether you take it in the form of tea, coffee, or pure water. Entirely up to yourselves. Right, so we've got God's presence, God's praise, God's provisions. God's peak is my next one. But it talks about here the mountain of God. And at the mount that God desired for his abode, were the words that he used here in this psalm. They point us to the place where God dwelt, i.e. Zion. Now, have you ever thought, why Zion? Because it was no mountain. In fact, it was a crummy little hill. When it comes to it now, it wasn't very big at all. It was puny when it comes to it. If you wanted to pick a mountain, God could have chosen Mount Hermon, which is over 9,000 feet high, 3,000 meters or thereabouts. Far more impressive, far more majestic, often snow-capped as well, there. Yet the Lord overlooked the higher peaks for his sanctuary and chose Zion. A mistake, do you think? Was it an accident that just happened? Not at all. It's in keeping with his character. Would somebody like to read those words for us, please? They're from God's word.
God chose
what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Right. And what does that tell us about verse 18 that we have here in this, where it says, you ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train, and receiving gifts from men, even amongst the rebellious, that the Lord may dwell there. What can they tell me about that verse? Obvious. Yeah? It's in the New Testament. You see, the New Testament quotes a host of different Old Testament verses. It often tweaks them slightly, yeah, puts a different rendering on maybe. Sometimes it does it literally, takes the whole But that's what they have there in that place there. And it's actually Ephesians 4 and 8 where it speaks about. And it's talking about the church. And it's talking about the church there. And it leads to apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds, and the teachers, for the church to be equipped so it can reach its peak under God. So, the next point, God's preservation. God's preservation we have now. And that is here talking in that. How does God preserve you? And how does God preserve me? Well, the answer is by saving us. You know, the whole of those verses there in verses 19 to 23, they're talking about salvation. God is our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong deliverances from death. Well, in our case, it's eternal death, not physical death. So salvation is a hallmark of his character. That's the delightful thing to think about. And it's one of the many facets of God that we can dwell on, think on, and praise God for there. From saving the nations of Israelites from Egypt in the Old Testament to individuals in the New Testament like Lydia and the Philippian jailer, he proves himself a God who saves, keeps, and preserves. Next point, God's procession, verses 24 to 27. In these verses, the picture is being painted of a procession. We don't often see those things happening at Little Hill Church, do we, when it comes to it there? But here we have a picture of procession. It's full of pageantry, with singers, musical instruments of various sorts, the tribes of Israel, with Benjamin in the lead. Why Benjamin? Why was Benjamin leading the tribes of Israel? Again, something in keeping with God's character. Benjamin was the smallest tribe, the least tribe, if you like, when it comes to it there. You can visualize the people passing by, each making a vital contribution. And there. No doubt we'll see some pageantry in a few months' time when the king has a coronation. But this procession is a procession of my God, my king, into the sanctuary. Yeah. So, leads us to the next point. God's power. God's power. Under the rule of King David, Israel became a strong country. Its borders extended massively there. Was it David's generals that mattered the difference? No. Was it David himself? No. They contributed to the set success, no doubt, but it was primarily God at work, using his power to fulfill his promise to establish David's kingdom, which you have worked for us, which says in verse 28 there. And that sums it up so appropriately. You have worked for us there. And the last point, God's praise, verses 32 to 35. Not just Israel or her neighbors, but, O kingdoms of the earth, sing to God, sing praises to the Lord. So it's not excluding anybody, whatever. Now, that's going to be true in heaven, because there will be people from every country and every nation, every culture, every language will be there. And they'll be able to praise God together. Now, again, what the language is, it's a good one. But notice this about it here, what we have. It is sung praise. Yeah? Yeah, the praise is being sung. So when you and I sing hymns, and when other churches, people sing hymns, they're singing praise to God. and saying things like, "Awesome is God from his sanctuary," which can often be in the form of prayer. So praise can be in the form of prayer as well. Praise can often be in the form of the way in which we live our lives there. It's reminding us of the importance of praise in every aspect of our life. That is Psalm 68, summarized from the perspective of God's action and activity. It shows us how important it is to see God at work in our church life and in our individual lives there. Whatever happens, God is central to us all. God is the focus of our lives. Let us see him more and more in his presence as we praise, as we receive provisions, when we see peaks, as we are preserved daily. Let the procession of life, as it goes on, reveal the power of God, so that we might, you know what's coming next, praise him. Remember, God is at work in you. Amen. We're going to sing in closing from the supplement, O Church Arise, one line one, O Church Arise and Put Your Armour On. That you've given to us and the way in which you continue to keep us day by day. We thank you for the support, encouragement. We thank for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. But we thank you, Lord, for the salvation in Christ. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.